My name is Matt Koenig.
And I'm Chris Spear.
And we're part of a new breed of sales and leadership professionals creating a movement
that you've probably never even heard of before.
We're waging war against 50 years of old school thinking through a radical movement filled with people just like you who want to lead the change.
We have to do things differently.
We have to do things smarter.
We have to do things better.
We are the Rockstar Movement.
And these are our stories. What's up, everybody? Matt Koenig here. I'm so excited because today we have got an awesome show for you. And we don't just have one guest on the show. We have got two guests on the show. And it's going to be an exciting, and I really mean an exciting show for you today, because we've got my friend and rock star coach, Sean Kelly.
Hey, what's going on, Matt? How you doing, brother? Doing awesome, buddy. Just coaching the car business. That's correct, my friend. Hanging out on the East Coast with my man, Javi.
Thank you.
I'm going to give everybody who hasn't seen this, who's never tuned in for Rockstar Moments Live, let everybody know. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk to Sean. We're going to learn a little bit about his life. Javi jumped in, so we're going to learn a little about him too. But basically, what we're going to do over the next 30 minutes or so is we're just going to have some dialogue, get to know these guys a little bit better, and just give you a glimpse into their life. If you're watching this, the one thing we'd ask is hit that share button and share it so that other people can tune in too. So, hey, not to waste any time, a lot of folks maybe have been seeing you all over social media, Sean. Like, we've had you at a couple rock stars. Everybody loves it when you're there, by the way. You always bring a lot of value to people, so thank you so much for that. But what a lot of folks may not know is your background. So I like to ask this of every guest on the show, but tell people a little bit about where you came from. And when you were a kid, you probably didn't go, oh, I want to grow up and be, you know, the car biz coach. So when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grow up? And tell people how you kind of got to where you're at now.
Very cool. Happy to give a quick backdrop on that. I'm excited for Javier to share his story too. So before the car business, I grew up and I listened to my grandfather's World War II war stories. So maybe you want to join the military and defend the country. And, you know, the first recruiter that got to me was an Army recruiter. So I went ahead and signed up for that. And, you know, it was during a time of peace, but I ended up joining special operations, spent over 2 years in combat zone deployments. And like most military people, when I got out of the military and was transitioning into being a civilian, I started off really well when I bought a house I couldn't afford and I knocked up my fiance and then I wrecked my car on the way to work. So that's how I ended up in the car business. And I just realized the car business was, I got hired right in the finance office from the finance guy that was doing my loan. And I loved everything about the car business. It was like all the adrenaline of being in the Army without being shot at. So I really enjoyed it. And I quickly worked my way up into finance manager, used car manager, became a used car manager back in 07, and then became a GSM in 2012. And that's kind of how I ended up in the auto industry.
You kind of ran through everything there. So you were in the military, and by the way, thank you so much for your service. Really appreciate you, man. Thank you for that. And now you're coaching people in the car business. Now, obviously, there's some similarities, right, with leading people and guiding people. And you said something that was pretty cool. You said you had all the adrenaline of it without being shot at, which kind of stood out to me a little bit. What is it about the car business that gets you so hyped up, that just makes you love it so much?
You know, it's like every moment is a chance to make something awesome happen, right? Whether it's closing a deal for yourself, helping a customer get their dream car, helping someone get promoted, adding value with a coaching conversation. And really that's how I transitioned into what I'm doing today, because I discovered coaching in the early teens, at the dealership, right? 2013, 2014. I mean, I was stressed out and frustrated as a manager, and we were having success, but, you know, I had turnover and all those challenges like most dealers have. And I found coaching was the solution. And I spent a year on my Tuesday off building my own coaching practice to replace my income of the GSM of the top Hyundai store in my region. And I was able to do that and then transition over. I became, the coaching was so impactful for one of my first client, which was a CRM software company, DriveCentric, that they made me their chief business development officer. So I got to be a C-suite exec as a result of being in the military and studying leadership and coaching people. I became a C-suite executive of a seven-figure software company. And then, and now I'm on my mission to bring coaching to the car business. And that's where I think, to answer your question in the long way, and that brings us to where we are today, is that the auto industry just provides so many amazing opportunities for people, and you can just do anything with it and grow to whatever you want to aspire to be. So that's what I really love most about the car business, is just the sheer opportunity.
I love it, man. So Javi, let me ask you, man, tell people a little bit about you. What's your role at Route 18? What do you do there?
I'm the general sales manager here.
And what's your background? Like, how did you end up getting into the car business? What brought you to being in the role that you're in now?
Well, I had a scholarship when I was 18, went to college. I wrestled in college. Came from a poor family, so I worked in the detail department at Pontiac Buick GMC store in Pennsylvania, Stroudsburg, and basically knew more about the vehicle than the sales guys, and that started my business.
That's pretty awesome to hear, man. A lot of folks think, you know, folks in the car business, we all know there are stigmas in the industry, right? But I love that Sean had mentioned something, which is that the car business gives so much opportunity for people. I know I started in the car business when I was 18 years old, grew up very poor, and I went in for an interview and thought I was going in for an interview to be a detail kid. Turns out I was interviewing to be a sales guy. Didn't even know that. Now, this was way back in the 90s, right, where they did the spaghetti method, right? Hire as many people as you can, throw them against the wall, see who sticks. So that's how I ended up getting into business, because my dad smoked pot with the finance manager. So it's just fact. But the crazy great thing is that someone was willing to make a hiring mistake and hire a dumb kid with no experience, no college, and it really gave me an opportunity to learn. Let me ask you this. You've been in the business how long, Javi?
Since 98.
So being a guy that's also a 20-plus year guy in the business, what do you love the most about the business? What is it that gets you up every day, makes you go, you know what? It's worth going to this dealership and working with these folks.
In all honesty, making my salespeople happy. I love seeing them loving their job, smile in their face that they do want to come to work. I've been in a couple of different stores where people did not want to go to the store, and this store, it's amazing. And my sales guys are pretty awesome. I get a kick making them money. If they make money, then I get money. That's how it goes.
I love hearing that. I love hearing Start. That. You know, one of the things a lot of folks don't realize too, and I love that you touched on this, Javi, is you love going in and helping your people make money. You know, one of the biggest challenges, and Sean and I have talked about this before, in the automotive industry is leadership, right? A lot of people have manager titles, but they're managers, not leaders, right? They're looking out for themselves. They're not servant leaders. And I love what you just said. I come here to make my people money. Now I'm going to ask Sean, you've been coaching people in the business for a while. Now, what is it that, you know, about being a coach? Because a lot of folks would say, you know, well, I mean, Javier's in the dealership every day. He knows his people. I mean, he spends time with them. What in the heck does he need Sean Kelly for? Tell people a little bit more about what you do as a coach and what you do for dealers.
Well, and I'm glad you asked that. You know, the reason I have Javi on the show is because of his the way he engages with his people, right? And the way he understands, and that exactly what you said, he understands what every challenge that every salesperson on his team faces. He knows them inside and out, and he truly gets where their opportunities are. But it's hard to read the label when you're inside the bottle, right? And he's in the bottle every day with his people. And he's, you know, it's no different than, you know, when you're a player and you're on the field playing to win with your team, right? Everyone needs, every pro athlete has a coach on the sideline watching how they're carrying the ball and finding those blind spots. And Javi is number one. We've been working, so Javi works with myself and one of my coaches, Daniel, and we've been working together for close to 6 months at this point. And just some of the wins he's seen have been amazing. So, you know, what we do is we come in and we do a cultural assessment. We learn about their store and their opportunities. And then we figure out, hey, where does it make sense to work together? Where would you see value here? And for instance, with Javier, you know, they've had some, you know, they're facing a very unique and challenging market. And they've been able to, like, heck, just see some massive growth. But it comes from all the right activities and behaviors. For instance, we were coaching on time management, right? Right. So Javier has all these responsibilities. He's doing all the dealer trades, all sorts. We went through his entire routine together. And how much you were just talking to me. So we had one coaching conversation last month.
Correct.
And we about such freeing up some more time for you to desk more deals and train your managers. Right.
Correct.
So tell them about what we did and that the result of that conversation.
Well, basically, we had a conversation about who are my two most talented people to talk on the phone and friendly for dealer trades, because, you know, in reality, swaps is very important in any car dealership. And, you know, basically told me, you know, to release some of the dealer trades that I do to a couple of my sales guys, which I picked two people, which are my friendliest, and they've taken pretty much about 50% of that load. So it makes it a lot easier for me, so I can work on some deals, because that's my strong suit. What I love to do is penciling deals.
And you got to think about this, Matt. There's a ton of trainers in the business. And with training, it's always their agenda, right? It's always like, this is what I'm going to tell you to do today. This is how you're going to do it. But with coaching, it's not. It's always their agenda. And, you know, like for today, for instance, we're doing, you know, we're doing workshops and team meetings and coaching around follow-up calls. And we're developing the content around how the managers do it. Most of that doesn't happen in our industry. Again, the trainers out there all talk about, this is how you should do it my way. But at the end of the day, if it's not relevant to their store and how they do business, it won't stick. So we work together to customize and improve the material and the content. And then we coach everyone where they want it and need it most. And that's really what sets me apart and a coach versus a trainer.
I love that you said that. So one of the things, I've had a lot of dialogue with dealers about trainers, right? Because let's not kid ourselves. In the automotive industry, right? Most trainers are training on the sales process. And I've gotten a little bit of stink eye from some of my trainer friends. None of them will actually say it, but I get that look, because I've said this 1,000 times. If you're paying 30, 40, 50 grand for a trainer to come in and teach your people the basics, you're kind of an idiot. Because the basics are what? You meet a person, right? You ask a bunch of questions, you demo the product, you pencil the deal, you overcome their concerns. It's not rocket science, right? Five simple steps. And we call them the basics. I know Joe Verde makes them into 12 steps. Grant has them as five. Everybody, you know, divides their process to sound unique. But at the end of the day, every one of those things has to happen in order for a car deal to come together. Got to meet them. Got to find out what they want. Got to show them the product. Got to show them the price. And got to give them a chance to say yes, right? So the challenge that some of my trainer buddies get a little frustrated with is I go, what? You should only exist to jumpstart the process and then get out of the way. Because I always believe the leadership, like Javi, for example, should be the front line, right? You should be the trainer of your people, mostly. But I also know it gets busy in a dealership. So I love what you said with coaching when you said it's about their agenda. Like, it's what they need at their dealership. You're taking their processes and the things that work for them, and you're helping shape that in a way that'll help them be successful. Whereas most trainers come in and go, well, this is what worked for me, so this is what will work for you. And the fact of the matter is, human beings are individuals. Now, let me ask you this, Javi, what did you want to be when you were a kid, right? So you went to the detail shop, now you're a GSM. What did you want to be when you were a kid?
I've been boxing since I was 8, so I've always wanted to box my whole life.
Nice. Well, I heard you say wrestling in college, so what I've learned is if you come out to Rockstar, I'm not going to start a fight with you.
I mean, my ankle pick is not as serious as it was when I was 21, but, you know, I think I still got it, though.
I love it. So let's talk about this. How many people do you have on your team there, Javier?
14.
Okay. So let's talk about how coaching looks from you to your team. So you didn't know when Sean brought you in as a guest that you were going to get so much FaceTime here. Let's talk about this. As a leader, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges that that leaders face when they're in the dealership, Javier? And what do you think are some of the biggest time suckers that get in the way and slow managers down?
There's so many things that you gotta in a day that sucks up. You know, for instance, dealer trades, they just take up a lot of time. Getting each salesperson organized. What I have a difficulty task is getting veterans to actually fall in line with the process. You know, you get the younger people or the people that have the 2, 3 years, 4 years, they fall into the process because they want to be that veteran. You know, but then you get the veterans that are, you know, like a little nod in the head. They don't listen, you know, and it's much harder. They feel like, oh, you know, I'm doing this all over. Is this just temporarily? Are you bothering me for only a month? You know, are you going back to normal next month? You know, it's just making a process is for these guys is what makes it easier. You know, in this dealership that we have here, it's, you know, we have a good crew. I got to say they are a very good crew. Do I got a couple of veterans that are a little hard-headed? Absolutely. But, you know, eventually they're going to have to fall down in line because it's what makes it's what's making business. You know, everything is about customer service. And in our area, it's all about customer service. You know, so I'm hoping that everybody falls into line to make everything much easier for all of us.
Sean, what are some of the challenges that you see typically? Because you're in more stores than Javier's. So what do you think are some of the biggest? Laura Saba Berman. Laura Berman says hi. Hey, Laura, good to see you. Thanks for tuning in. Sean, what are some common things that you see across just about every dealership where you go, these are the stumbling blocks that most leaders are running into that they could easily overcome with just a few minor tweaks?
So helping leaders understand the difference between training and coaching is so critical because to Javier's point, right, you've got the veteran salespeople that have already been through all the training and they understand the basics. And heck, you don't meet a manager like Javier who doesn't have the understanding of the basics. Like, these guys know how to sell a car, right? But the hard part is transferring those skills to their team and also taking their middle of the road or top producers or veterans and helping them, you know, enter into the cycle of continuous improvement. And usually they reach a certain level and they plateau off. And that's why we teach the managers how to coach. In fact, today's workshops, we are teaching, we are literally, there's four different types of coaching and we are starting off with the first type with these guys today after 6 months. After they've seen some of the coaching wins, now it's time to start transferring those coaching skills to the managers. And if managers learn to engage their top performers and their veterans, then they can improve those guys. Would you rather see a 20% gain from an 8-car person or a 20-car person, right? It's a no-brainer. So that's what I think that's really the biggest thing for managers is at some point, you know, once you've laid the foundation of training to becoming a coach is what they really need to do. And there's a million different obstacles, man. Everything from time management and owning their day to buy-in from the top and constant change in the car business. The biggest is all the random stuff that hits you in the face on the showroom floor. How do you control that, right? So, you know, when managers say they have 10 hours a day, they're really lying to themselves. They really only have about 4 hours a day to conduct non-sales related activities.
No, that makes perfect sense. And let me ask you this, because obviously, you know, we talk about this a lot in the automotive industry. Part of why we bring in so many people from outside of automotive to Rockstar is that I've been in the business now for 25 years. And no matter what industry I watch evolve, automotive is always 5 to 10 years behind it. It's just sad, but it's true, right? We see so much evolution in other types of shopping with Amazon and all these other mediums out there, ways to communicate with people, right? You know, effective chat didn't hit dealer websites till it had been out and working everywhere else for forever. So let's talk about this. Aside from coaching, let's talk about, for both of you guys, and both of you weigh in on this, maybe each, but Sean, what's something you do every day to make sure that you're continuing to grow and continuing to learn? Chuck Thomas from AutoMax said great stuff here. Thanks, Chuck. But Sean, what's something that you do, let's say one thing that you do daily or weekly to like help you continue to learn? And then Javi, what's something that you do to help you continue to learn and grow?
So I'll give you a couple. Number one, every morning when I'm getting ready for work and I'm driving anywhere, I'm listening to audiobooks. The average college graduate reads one book per year, they say, 1.1 books per year. So I try to read at least 30, and that, you know, that's including audiobooks and reading at home. So I try to read. Also, I have my own coach, you know, Keith Rosen. He's my coach. I've been using him for 6-7 years at this point. And, you know, every coach needs a coach. So at the end of the day, that's a couple of things I do. How about you, Javier?
I basically run my dealership like when I wrestled and I box. It's every single day you come in, Yeah, some people might call it a practice, but every single day you're supposed to be doing something to get yourself better for the for your Saturday, you know. And you know, our Saturdays are a killer day, and we're hoping to bring it to another level. And I'm trying to get my guys to feel the same way I am. I run a dealership with a positive attitude. There's no can't in my dealership. I don't allow it. I don't want it here. And I want my guys to feel the same way, just to keep going and keep rocking. And whatever they need help with, call me and we'll make it happen together.
I like it. So let's talk about this. What's an area in the automotive dealership that if we were to go, all right, here's something that needs to evolve. It needs to change. What's one area that you feel like is an area of opportunity that if as an industry we could just make this adjustment, it would make it better for dealers, it would make it better for consumers. And either one of you guys, feel free to weigh in, but what's one area that we just need to evolve in?
You want to start?
No.
I'll go first on that. I'll go first. By the way, I think that, number one, so Paul Sansone Jr., one of the dealers I coach here on the East Coast, who introduced me to these guys, which these guys have a very similar philosophy in the fact that they make it all about, they acknowledge they're not in the car business, they're in the people business. And these guys, they're willing to invest in their people, number one. Number two, they're willing to invest in their customers. I mean, they have a department for fleet, they have a department, they're very customer centric, and that's what it's all about. So I think make it about the people, both at your dealership and your customers. I think that is huge. And that entails, I think you got to change the way you bring people into the business. And you mentioned throwing them against the wall and hoping they stick, right? I think they've got to get rid of that. And then I think we got to change the way we bring people into the business, help them understand really what it takes to be successful in today's market, and don't hire them if they're not a good fit and they're not willing to do those activities. And then once you do hire someone, I think the other area we've got to change as an industry would be, how do we let people out of the business, right? Because every time someone starves after 3 or 4 months and it's drug out for that long, and they're not going to leave on good terms, right? And that damages the brand of your store. And that damages the brand of the auto industry as a whole. So, managers need to come up with a better way of letting people out of the business, help them out, or help them out in a way that's positive for, and everyone wins, and it's possible.
Now, that brings me to something that is just huge in my opinion. And that is, I've seen a lot of managers say things like, and this may chap a few people's asses, but it is what it is. It's hard to find good people. I want people who are self-motivated. I want self-starters. Those are three sentences that absolutely set me on fire, because I was taught when I had my first leadership training, the success and failure of your team is your responsibility. If they succeed, you helped them, but you give them all the credit. If they fail, you take all the responsibility, right? If they can't feed their family, if they can't pay their bills, it's your fault as a leader. So I was taught, when you take over a department, you go, well, I didn't hire all the people. Well, you chose to keep them when you took the job, so they're your responsibility. So in the role of a leader, what is your perspective, Sean, as a coach who works with dealers every day? What's your perspective on the, and the other statement is this. I want people who are self-motivated. My belief system has always been, look, your job as a leader is to do one thing, and motivate and inspire your people. Because you can lay down any processes, right? Any adult that can read can follow them. But our job is to find the way to set that fire inside those folks so they'll want to follow them. Sean, what's your perspective on the idea of people being self-motivated and it being hard to find good people? Is that just a... is just a bunch of bullshit, cop out for leaders, or is it actually challenging to find intelligent human life?
That's a great, great question. Definitely a challenge that pretty much every manager, when I'm doing our initial meetings and assessments, talk about. One of the best things Javi ever said is, he's like, what can I do better? He's like, show me the blueprint and I'll do it. I'll execute on it, right? So I love when managers like Javier take ownership and know where they can improve. But yes, I think it's our job that we already have good people. It's just about making them better people, right? And the better people they become, the more success comes with it, right? So I think that while it would be ideal to have a bunch of intrinsically motivated employees that you would never have to do anything other than desk deals with them, the fact of the matter is that it's a manager's job to know what every person on the team wants most and to help them get it by connecting the dots on their activities and actions on the showroom floor to getting that. And that really is the key to motivation, my friends. It's not, like you said earlier, it's not rocket science, but it's if I know Javi wants to become part owner of a dealership one day, then every conversation that we're going to have is about making that happen, right? So, hey, man, would having these coaching conversations with your team help you achieve those results? And how could this impact that? How could this help you get what you want? And if you can do that with every person on your team, know what they want most and connect those dots, then you can impact their behaviors and help them get it. And the funny part is sometimes getting what they want isn't even with your dealership. But they'll stay with your dealership just because you went to bat for them and you helped them. Either way, they're going to leave, you know, they might leave. So how do you want them to leave? Right. So what are your thoughts on that, Javier?
I totally agree. I mean, not everybody has different personalities, to get motivated. You know, you can't motivate a dominant personality the same way as myself, who's a high I. You know, I get pumped. Just Sean Kelly called me. I'm pumped. I'm going to go sell 30 cars now. You know, it's just. Certain people don't get motivated the same way. So it's just finding the personality of each salesperson to find a way to motivate them to be who they need to be in the car business, you know. Some people will say, well, what Javi's saying is bullshit. Another person's going to run with it, you know. It's just finding the motivation for each person is what I like to do, you know. I've been coached since I was 8 years old, and I'm probably going to keep getting coached so further on, you know. The only one that dominates me is my wife at home, basically.
I absolutely love it. You know what? And what you just said was so powerful. I hear a lot of people, the same folks that are saying it's hard to find good people, it's hard to keep good people, it's hard to retain people, are the same folks that when I look them in the eye and I go, so how much time do you spend with every one of your salespeople every single day? And then it's a blank stare. And they're like, well, what do you mean? I go, not desking deals. Way too many years ago, when I was taught to be a leader, I was taught exactly what you just said, Javi. Every single person's motivation is different. So the only way to learn how to motivate them is to sit down and do what we used to call daily one-on-ones, right? So we used to do 15 minutes with every person every day. They had the exact same time every day so they could schedule their appointments around it and they would never be like, oh, I missed it or whatever. And we talked about three things. Talk to me about yesterday. What's your game plan for today? And the last thing was always, what can I do to help you be successful? Who do I need to call? What TOs, you know, TO calls do I need to make? What trades do I need to step up on? What is it that I can do to help you be successful? Because the mindset, of course, was if my whole team is doing well, by default, I'll be doing fine, right? So I love that you just said everybody's different to motivate. Let me ask you this, and Sean, what you just said was like, you know, look, their motivation may not, their end game may not be with your dealership, right? So down the road, they may be sending them off to do something else, you know, and empowering them to go be their own person, start their own business, do whatever it is. So let me ask you this. How important do you feel it is, how important is it to sit down every day and do those one-on-ones? Is that still the methodology to this day? Do you do it daily? Do you do it weekly? Do you do it monthly? How do you stay on top of knowing their motivation and knowing if it shifts? How do you coach to that, Sean? And Javi, just feel free to jump in on whatever your thoughts are too.
Well, I think it's important that every sit down has a purpose or an objective. And since my sit downs are very action oriented, otherwise it's just therapy, right? So every sit down involves building out an action plan and following up alongside that action plan. And as a manager, you're right. What can I do, right? A manager's job is to care for the plan long-term and support that employee in accomplishing that action plan. So, you know, you can certainly overdo it, but I think that there's got to be balance around, you know, again, it's almost always the manager's agenda, right? So how can we balance it to where the managers have an agenda sometimes, but it's also balanced to where the employee has an agenda and can receive coaching and training where they want it and need it most, right? So that's the tricky part, is just balancing it. And then also, why not just ask the employee? You know, I mean, why hire an employee without just asking them a question like, what would your expectations be with me as your manager? How often would you like to have a one-on-one? What do you see as my responsibility as your manager and your coach? What could we do to make our one-on-ones very impactful and valuable for you? These are some expectation setting questions that any manager can ask their employees, which will ultimately help them lead their person how they want it and need it most. You know, this all, I think this all goes to the Vince Lombardi famous quote, my job is to find 40 different ways to move 40 different men, and in this case, car salespeople.
I love it. And you just said something critical there, like when hiring someone, asking them about it. I did a live a few weeks ago talking about hiring people and retaining employees, retaining people. I try so hard not to put labels on everyone nowadays, but to help retain folks and get them to want to stay on your team. And one of the things that I said was, you know how you manage, right? Javi knows his leadership style, right? He knows not everybody's going to fit into his leadership style. So when interviewing people, you know, one of the things that I had shared was ask them, when you don't have a success, when you have a moment where you feel like you failed, how do you like to be coached through that? How do you like, you know, if I'm your leader and I'm working with you and you have a moment of failure, how would you like me to approach you on that? What communication style works best with you? And I like asking those questions to learn, because I'm not going to change my communication style. I know who I am. So I need to learn, is that going to fit this person? When you're looking for people to bring on your team, I know a lot of folks say, you know, having different people communicate differently is always important. But let me ask you this. How important is it to have a group of diverse communicators on the sales floor? Are you looking for people that all fit a similar mold that is easy for you to coach? Or are you looking for a whole different group of people so that you can learn to coach differently? What's kind of your viewpoint on that, and what's your focus?
What do you think, Javi?
Well, I probably won't have everybody the same on my floor. You know, once again, a dominant person doesn't want to be with a high eye guy all over. You know, he'll be like, what's wrong with this guy? Why is he so hyper? How many Red Bulls did he have? You know, so it's just like, you know, you got to have your different personalities on the floor. You know, it's a must, you know. So when I have myself or my two other desk managers, when we meet and greet a customer comes in, you know, we have basically 10 seconds, 12 seconds to find out, hey, what kind of personality we think this customer is. So I can put them with the right salesperson on the floor. And that's what I try to do, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's just I won't be able to have 14 of me on the floor either. Then I'll be drained out of energy myself, you know.
That makes perfect sense. Sean, what do you think, man? When it comes to coaching folks, I've heard people say, you know, you need to treat every salesperson the same. You need to communicate with every salesperson the same. So that everyone feels, you know, the same across the board. But we've talked a lot about the different personalities. When you're coaching people that have different personalities, do you believe you use the same questions, you use the same communication style, you do it all the same, or do you tailor it individually for the person?
Now, you've got to flex your style as a coach, as a leader. You've got to meet them where they're at. It's that simple. If you're trying to fit everyone into your shoebox, so to speak, then you're just going to frustrate people on your team, right? But this is something that we actually focused on that 2 or 3 months back, didn't
yes.
we? And it was really interesting to see the different personality styles. But you know, there's the golden rule: treat everyone the way you want to be treated, which is what most people do. And that's great if you want to be communicating effectively 25% of the time. I'd rather try to be more effective, more like 75 or 100% of the time. So flexing your style to the person, to meet them where they're at, is critical. And that goes to leadership expectations. That goes to the way we coach them, the way we hold them accountable. But if you really want to build a highly motivated team that communicates well and can produce new results, then that is a requirement. I'm just going to throw it out there. You can't get that diverse, extremely team with extremely high potential without a good diverse team of people that have different strengths, right? So as a leader, it's our job to meet them where they're at.
I love hearing that. This sounds like that would create a winning culture in the dealership by being able to do that, which leads me right into what you're going to be talking about at the upcoming Rockstar event in Las Vegas, May 13th and 14th. I know you're going to be focusing on helping dealers build that winning culture within the store. And I don't want to give too many things away, but Sean, if people were to say, okay, if there's just one thing, at least one thing that they'll take away from listening to your session in Las Vegas in May, what's one thing that they're going to get from coming to hear you?
Let's just say the word trust. All right. And what I mean by that is that as a leader, there's nothing more important than trusting that your entire staff has your back, trusting that they're going to do the right things and say the right things, even when you're not watching. Trust that they're going to be honest with you about maybe a career crippling way that you're doing business or conducting yourself, and be able to come to you and be honest with you about that so you can improve. So I think trust, if you want to be able to trust your employees and you want them to trust you and you want your leaders, the people that your boss to trust you, then you're going to really value creating a winning culture. And I'm going to give you the roadmap to do that. We're just a few months in here. But Javier, you've seen some of the results from, what are your thoughts, some of the big changes? How has the building a winning culture here at Route 18 affected the trust for you and between you and your team?
Oh, I mean, basically my guys, they're basically accountable. They love me. They need me. They always want me to help them out in any way if they got in any situations. Even my veteran guys, listen, I got this going on. I don't know how to fix this situation. I give them A, B, C avenues. Hey, do one process of elimination. You got one to pick from the other two, and let's go with it. They know I got their back. Same way like the owner now, I feel like even the owners of my dealership, they're more confident with me. They're Team Javi, and they got my back as well. So, as I see my team got my back and the owners got my back, it gives me more confidence to keep moving forward, to help everybody out in the store.
And we're just getting started, so look for more record-breaking months like they had last month, right?
Oh, yeah. It's all right. Yeah, record-breaking month for here.
I love it. I love it. And you guys hit on some big stuff there. You know, Sean, you talked about empowering your team and trusting them with what you've taught them, what you've coached them. And then, Javi, you talked about them trusting you back. And I think that it's funny, that two-way street there, a lot of folks don't realize, when they're in a management role, they think, well, you got to pound people into submission. And then the process is what makes them succeed. But I think what we've learned is, even through this call, is we can put a process in front of everybody, but some people don't make it. So the process isn't what makes it work. But that culture that you create and that trust and those relationships are what really help take it to the next level. Now, as we're wrapping up here, a couple things, Sean. Take a moment. Well, you know what? We'll start with Javi. Javi, look, most people watching this are dealers or vendors, folks in the automotive industry. But we might have some folks out in Jersey that watch this after the fact. And maybe they go, you know what? I want to do business with a great place. I want to be able to buy a vehicle from a place that has a good culture, people I trust. Javi, tell people how they can get a hold of you, where your dealership is, the website, the phone number. Tell them how they can do business with you.
Well, we're at 400 Route 18, East Brunswick, New Jersey. I'm right in the main entrance of the door, so they're never going to miss me. So they could come and ask for Javier. This is a fun place. We have great music on Saturday going on. Yeah. Everybody has a fun time, family feeling here. Everybody's always laughing, and, it's a great place to be. Not only a great place to be and a great place to buy a car, great place to work, whoever's looking for a good job at a good store. This place will guarantee it will make a lot of people happy.
And what's the web address and what's the phone number?
Phone number here is 732-387-2600, and it's rt18auto.com.
Awesome. And Sean, tell people, I know the best place for them to see you is to get their butts out to Rockstar. If they go to rockstarinfo.com, they can come out there. Tickets, if you're a dealer, are 100% free. If you're a vendor and you want to just come observe and see if it's something you want to participate in the future, contact myself or Chris Spear. You can get a $395 ticket. But Sean, aside from coming to Rockstar to see you, how else can they get a hold of you if their dealership wants to build a winning culture?
Well, I'm booked out through Q4, but the good news is I have several coaches that also work with me that we can definitely, we're ready to grow, and we want to bring the car business and make more winning cultures. So anyone can reach me. If you call me, I'm usually coaching all day, so I can't answer the phone. But email me at Sean, S-E-A-N, at carmotivators.com. You can also text me anytime you want, 314-323-8234. I do have a 1-800 number, and my receptionist will answer and take any messages, 1-888-921-0221.
Awesome. Listen, I want to say thank you both for taking the time to be on Rockstar Moments with me today and to tell people a little bit more about who you are and where you guys come from. I really appreciate it. I know the folks watching do too. So thank you guys again. I really appreciate you being on today.
Always welcome.
Thank you.
Hopefully it helps.
And everybody else watching, here's the deal, folks. Listen, we've got Rockstar Unconference coming up May 13th and 14th in Las Vegas, Nevada. Right now, tickets are free if you're a dealer. Go to rockstarinfo.com. That's rockstarinfo.com. Hotels are super affordable. Go to www.thed.com. You can get a hotel room right now for $30 a night plus a resort fee. So it's $55 a night. Come in on the 12th. Check out the evening of the 14th. You're going to have a great experience. You're going to learn from the best people in the business, just like the gentleman you just heard from. Listen, thanks again for tuning in. Now go out there and make your day, and hopefully someone else is amazing. Because remember, no matter where you're at in your business or your life, you're just one moment away from where you want to be.
My name is Matt Kamen.
And I'm Chris Spear.
And we're part of a new breed of sales and leadership professionals creating a movement
that you've probably never even heard of before.
We're waging war against 50 years of old school thinking through a radical movement filled with people just like you who want to lead the change.
We have to do things differently.
We have to do things smarter.
We have to do things better.
We are the Rockstar Movement.
And these are our stories.